From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We have some great important updates on the show today from the Nebraska unicameral on the issue of abortion and two bills that were heard in the Judiciary Committee this week, one good, one bad. We'll talk about those and their status, as well as share some really powerful and moving testimony that we heard last week in committee. It's incredibly important. This is our opportunity in Nebraska to stand for life. We'll talk all about it. Plus, we'll cover the president's recent action signing an executive order to protect the free speech rights of students on college campuses that featured a student from right here in Nebraska. We'll talk about what you need to know about that important issue. But first, the president also approved this past week a declaration that a disaster does exist in Nebraska and ordered federal aid to support the recovery efforts here in our state. This past Thursday, President Trump declared that a major disaster exists in the state of Nebraska and ordered federal aid to supplement state, tribal, and local recovery efforts in the areas affected by the severe storms, winds, and flooding that have devastated such a large area of our state. The president's action makes federal funding available to affected individuals in the counties of Butler, Cass, Colfax, Dodge, Douglas, Nemaha, Sarpy, Sounders, and Washington counties. Federal funding is also now available to state, tribal, and eligible local governments and certain private nonprofit organizations on a cost-sharing basis for emergency work in a much larger list of counties in our state. This is something that our governor and federal delegation had asked of the president and his administration, in which they have now delivered on providing federal aid to our state. The devastation has been so widespread and heartbreaking to see all the families that have been affected by the severe flooding. And we know it's a long road to recovery. And so we're continuing to pray for all of those who have been affected or displaced. And it's so important for everyone to continue to support those who have lost so much. Nebraska Family Alliance, we've been utilizing our network of churches and faith leaders to help them get connected with disaster relief efforts and help coordinate the work that churches are doing to support those who are in need right now. And it's something that we'll continue to do. And so if you've been affected by this natural disaster, or know people who have, please know that we are thinking of you. We are continuing to pray for you, as well as looking for more opportunities to step up and support those in need right now in our state. Nebraskans are strong and resilient, and we will continue to rebuild from this devastation. And we have now reached the halfway point in this year's legislative session. On Monday, we will hit day 47 in the Nebraska legislature. We are in the last week for committee hearings, after which the legislature will move to full day debate, and there will be a lot of important issues discussed by the legislature for the remainder of this year's session. But this past week was a really important one for the issue of life and the pro-life movement in our state. On Wednesday, our Judiciary Committee heard two bills on abortion, one that offers hope for women who are pregnant and want a second chance at choice and life for babies, and another that seeks to expand abortion across the entire state by authorizing telemedicine and webcam abortions by striking the requirement that the physician be physically present in the same room when a woman has an abortion. The first bill was LB 209 from State Senator Joni Albright that we're helping support at Nebraska Family Alliance. We've talked about this one quite a bit. This is all about the abortion pill reversal, giving women seeking an abortion information about the option, the choice, to reverse the effects of the abortion pill even after beginning a medication abortion. This is something that most people don't even know exists or is possible, but the abortion pill, which now makes up over half of all abortions in Nebraska, are done via the abortion pill, can actually be reversed if the reversal protocol is begun soon enough, within 48 hours after taking the abortion pill. The abortion pill, also known as RU486, is prescribed by a doctor within the first 10 weeks of pregnancy, and the pill begins with mifepristone, which is a progesterone hormone blocker, and it artificially deprives the mother of progesterone, which causes the baby to detach from the uterus and die for lack of nourishment. However, thanks to new evidence-based science, it is possible to greatly increase the chance a woman can save her baby and continue carrying the pregnancy to term after taking the abortion pill if she begins a standardized abortion pill reversal protocol. And so the abortion pill, there's actually two pills. The first one, which blocks the progesterone, and then 2 or 3 days later, the mother takes a second pill, misoprostol, which expels the child from the womb. And if that second pill is simply not taken, and instead the mother receives a series of either oral or injections of progesterone, the progesterone levels can be elevated back to normal pregnancy levels, and she can save the baby. And listen to this, the success rate for saving the baby and bringing him or her to term is 68%, nearly 70%, compared to only 25% when the woman takes the first abortion pill alone and does nothing else. Research shows this is perfectly safe and healthy for the mother and babies who are saved by the abortion pill reversal. They have no increased risk of birth defects. In fact, for nearly 60 years, medical professionals have used progesterone, which is a natural hormone allowing pregnant women to carry and continue nourishing an unborn child to prevent miscarriages and sustain healthy pregnancies. Quite simply, progesterone is what is used when you have an at-risk pregnancy. And by definition, when you take the abortion pill and then change your mind and want to continue carrying the child, the pregnancy is now at risk because the woman's body is being depleted of progesterone, which is the hormone that is needed to sustain the pregnancy. And importantly, again, this reversal process is not only safe for both the woman and her unborn child, but it offers a real chance for the mother to rescue her child when she has changed her mind about abortion, as well as spare herself the pain and regret of losing a wanted baby. And I think we all can agree that we can look back on decisions that we have made in our lives and wish that we had done things differently or not made the decision that we made. And so it's not surprising that this also happens with abortion. And the abortion pill reversal is actually already being offered successfully across the country and right here in Nebraska. But this isn't information that abortion providers are willingly sharing with their patients. And so to that end, State Senator Albright has introduced this bill, LB 209, to require that when a woman goes in for an abortion, before she can be given the abortion pill, she must be told that it may be possible to reverse the effects of the abortion pill, but time is of the essence, and direct her to the Department of Health and Human Services, who will have information on how to get connected with a provider or a doctor in Nebraska who can aid her in that process. So we're actually just amending our existing informed consent statutory framework for abortion. There are a number of things already that a woman must be told before undergoing an abortion, and this bill would simply add to that list information about the possibility of reversing the abortion pill. A mother shouldn't have to find out later that she could have reversed the process if only she had known it was possible. Every woman deserves to be given all the information she needs to make a truly informed decision, including how to find help if she changes her mind about a medication abortion. And at this committee hearing on Wednesday, we actually got to hear an incredible and powerful story from a mother who did just that. And she shared with our state senators her story of beginning a medication abortion and taking the abortion pill and immediately regretting her decision. And she used the abortion pill reversal protocol to reverse the abortion pill, and as a result, gave birth to a healthy, beautiful boy who is now 6 years old. Her name is Rebecca Hagen, and she has such a beautiful, powerful story, and we wanted to share it on today's program. Here is what Rebecca told our state senators this past week in support of LB 209.
Good afternoon. My name is Rebecca Hagen, R-E-B-E-K-A-H-H-A-G-A-N, and I thank you so much for your time. I am here representing first myself, but also the many women who have changed their mind after starting a medication abortion and taking the first abortion pill called mifepristone, also known as RU486. I'm here to tell you my story, to express my gratitude, and to ask for your support of LB 209. In early 2013, I discovered that I was pregnant with my second child. I will never forget the day I sat there in a grocery store bathroom, staring at that positive pregnancy test and feeling devastated and ashamed. I was 1 month away from being 19 years old, a freshman at Sacramento State University, and a mother to an almost one-year-old child that I had my senior year of high school. I had just left the extremely abusive relationship I had been in most of my teenage years, and I felt that raising two children at 19 while in college was not just inconvenient, it was downright impossible. And because of that, I felt alone and scared and desperate and hopeless, and so I sought out a medication abortion. I want to be clear that that was my choice, and I don't put the blame on anyone else for me seeking that. On March 13th of 2013, I walked into my final appointment at a Planned Parenthood clinic close to my home. At this point, I was just over 7 weeks pregnant, and I was called back into one of the last rooms where I sat with a staff member who had the abortion pill in a small Dixie cup. She explained that once I started this, there was no going back. There was no talk of if the abortion failed. With that, I took the abortion pill from her, and I swallowed it. She explained that this first pill would end my pregnancy, and then I was instructed to take a second set of pills called misoprostol the following evening, and I was told that this would, quote, expel the remnants of my pregnancy. I was then sent on my way with a brown paper bag full of medication, and by the time I got to my car, which maybe it took 2 minutes, I broke down. I began to feel intense sadness and regret, and it was sort of like that fear and crisis and fog I was trying to operate through sift in, and all I could think was, oh my gosh, what did I just do? There have been many times that a lot of us in this room, educated and whatnot, can probably look back and wish that they had made a very different choice, and this was that moment in my life. I wanted so badly to take it all back and regretted this decision. I realized that the following day, March 14th, was my son's first birthday, and it was also going to be a day marked as one that I brought one child into this world and took another one out. I frantically searched for information online, and I wasn't the first. I read many stories from girls just like me, even back in 2013, and I was connected to a doctor through a hotline number and explained the abortion pill reversal process. We followed the protocol, which involved getting progesterone back into my body. I was told that this would probably not be successful. My child could have abnormalities. I was told this by the abortion facility. And thankfully, I did carry to term because of the abortion pill reversal regimen, and I had a healthy baby boy who will be 6 later this year. So on behalf of all of the women who have gone through this, I thank you, and I encourage you to support LB 209.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I stand for questions.
Thank you, Chairman Lathrop. Thank you, Ms. Hagen, for appearing today. I take it what happened to you happened in California.
Sure, yes.
And at that time, did they have a law like what we're proposing here?
No, they didn't have a law, and I actually had to frantically search for a while to find information. And the reason I'm so concerned is when you take the abortion pill, you have a very limited time window to go through with the abortion pill reversal regimen before the abortion pill runs its course. And here I was sitting there wasting time without any access to healthcare, without any access to information. So that's why this is so important, so that girls are given that information before even making this decision.
And that's what this bill is all about. LB 209 is not only pro-life, it's pro-women, pro-science, and pro-information. And Nebraska Family Alliance is proud to support that legislation to help better protect both women and unborn children in Nebraska. And we were so grateful to have Rebecca there to share her story and testify before our Judiciary Committee. And Senator Albright, the sponsor of this legislation, has also designated it as her priority bill. Every senator gets one priority bill, and she has chosen LB 209, meaning it will have the opportunity to be debated by the full legislature if, and that's a big if, the Judiciary Committee advances the bill. The bill currently has 24 other co-sponsors. Now, also on this same day this past week, on Wednesday, the Judiciary Committee also heard LB 503, introduced by State Senator Megan Hunt of Omaha, that would strike out existing language in state statute requiring the physician to be physically present in the same room when the abortion takes place. And that seems pretty common sense and like a good thing if you're serious about protecting women and their health. But what this is about is opening the door for telemedicine and webcam abortions in Nebraska. Currently, there are only a few abortion providers in the state located in Omaha and Lincoln, but this would open the door for abortions statewide. This is a serious, incredible expansion of abortion that would take place under this bill. And so we were also proud to testify in opposition to that bill because we truly believe that Nebraska is a pro-life state and that the people of Nebraska, they want to see, this is not the legislation that the people of Nebraska want, to see abortion expanded into every corner of our state. When we've seen and observed the things happening in other states across the country, in New York and Virginia and Illinois, where they're actively removing protections for the unborn and their mothers. This is not something that we're going to do here in Nebraska. Instead, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to stand up and protect both women and unborn children. And there was just such a stark contrast between these two bills and this Judiciary Committee hearing, because on one side, the pro-life side, you had people offering real choice and hope for women and life for unborn children. And then on the other side, the pro-abortion side, they weren't able to offer that. Their only solution is the destruction of unborn children, and they want to expand that statewide. And we're standing against that. And you can find more information about these two bills at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We're encouraging people to make sure that you are contacting your state senator about these important issues. And we are so grateful to have such widespread support from across the state and our work at the state capitol to stand for life. And out in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. this past week on Thursday, President Trump signed an executive order to protect free speech on college campuses. The president signed an order that would deny colleges certain federal research and education grants if they failed to comply with the free speech standards outlined by his administration. And they had a really special and neat press conference to commemorate this executive order and to highlight what's happening on college campuses across our country by allowing students to share their experiences. And this is some remarks and clips of what the president had to say about this executive order protecting free speech on college campuses. And this is such an important issue. The list of instances where free speech has been stifled and shut down on universities, where free speech, that should be, you would think, if there's any area where we're going to be promoting free speech and the free exchange of ideas, it would be on college campuses. But sadly, that has not been the case. But thankfully, the president and his administration are actively doing something about it.
Taxpayer dollars should not subsidize anti-First Amendment institutions, and that's exactly what they are, anti-First Amendment. Universities that want taxpayer dollars should promote free speech, not silence free speech. Today's groundbreaking action is the first in a series of steps we will take to defend students' rights. We are proudly joined by several young Americans who can speak directly about ideological intolerance on campus.
And one of those students who was invited to participate in this special press conference and sign the ceremony at the White House was a student from the University of Nebraska, Katie Mullen, who has been a guest on this show before. We had her on to share about her experience. You might be familiar with Katie's story. She was harassed and bullied and insulted and sweared at and called all sorts of horrible names by university faculty members for peacefully tabling for a conservative organization on campus. And Katie had the opportunity to speak at this event at the White House, and this is what she shared.
We're also joined by Caitlin Mullen, a student at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. While simply standing at a table to represent a conservative group on campus, Turning Point USA, which does such incredible work, and thank you very much, Charlie. That's true. Come on, we could give him a hand. Thank you. Caitlin was approached by staff and a graduate instructor and was berated and cursed at. School officials tried to bully Caitlin into leaving, but she bravely stood her ground. Caitlin, please come up and say a few words.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. What happened to me is common on universities today, and students are getting shut down and silenced on campus. So I'm really thankful that President Trump is addressing this issue, because as the future of America, it's important that our universities are a place where we could speak freely and have healthy, respectful dialogue on campus. So thank you so much, President Trump, for doing this. No other student should have to go through what I went through on campus. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Caitlin. Beautiful. And I have to say that, you know, we have, in my opinion, we have more than they have. People don't realize that. You see what's going on. I just came back from Ohio. The streets were lined with people. I came back recently from Alabama, where they had that horrible tornado. It was terrible. But the people were lined, as far as the eye could see, lined up with people. And we're here. This is the White House. I'm the president. We're together. And hopefully we can bring everybody together. That's really what we want to do. They can have different views, and if they do have different views, we encourage that. But they have to let you speak. They have to let you speak.
What an incredible opportunity, and really neat to see Nebraska represented at this event and signing for this executive order to protect free speech rights on college campuses. And I'm going to finish with one last clip from President Trump, who closed with a really inspiring message and promise to students across America.
We know that freedom must prevail on college campuses. Freedom is to prosper in America. It's so important. And we believe that greatness must be practiced in our halls of learning. If greatness is to thrive in our halls of government and our corridors of commerce, you're going to have great lives. But I want you to get off to a great start, not a start where you're behind a barricade that just doesn't let you succeed. And we're going to make it much easier for you, this administration, and we've worked very hard on it already. We'll be having some meetings, and we'll be having some very major discussions with some of the biggest colleges and universities, and we're going to have them shoulder some of the responsibility and some of the money that's necessary for you to use in order to get your education. To every student and young American here today, don't let anyone stop you from doing what you know is right, from asking questions, from challenging the powerful, or from speaking your mind. And that's the primary reason we're here right now. You're going to speak your mind. You're going to be fair. You're going to be reasonable. You're going to do it well. And you're going to speak your mind. Never, ever quit. Never give in. And never back down. Keep standing up for your values, for your classmates, and for your country. And you can be certain that every day of my presidency, we will always support your rights and your freedoms and your future.
always stand up for your values. What an important message from the president. And that's what we're doing at Nebraska Family Alliance, standing for family values here in our state. And as always, for more information, you can visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connections.